Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bingity bong a da bing bing bong ba da bang bing bong a da bingity bong ba da bing ba da 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 bong. Suggestible time.
Sometimes the bing bongs are about the bings you don't bong. Am I right?
This is it. How are we, James?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well. This is Suggestible Podcast, in case you didn't know.
Ah, I knew
it. My name is Claire Tonti, in case you didn't know that either. I'm your wife. You're my husband. We're married. We recommend you things to watch, read, and listen to.
Yep.
We're so glad you're here.
We are.
Thank you very much. I have a plug, James, right up top.
Oh, my God. Always with the plugs.
Just one quick one. So I have a couple of shows coming up. One in Yakandanda on Saturday. It's a little regional country town. I'm really excited. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The second one is in Malwela. 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the Sunday, which is like a little country town near Yarrawonga.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes. And then if you live in the old Melbs or you're just around in the traps, I will be playing 3 o'clock at the Wesleyan in Northgate, my whole album. It'll be very fancy and exciting. I've got a fabulous new blue dress I'm going to wear.
Ooh.
I'm really looking forward to it. We got a sweet, sweet as sound engineer who's going to be doing all the bells and whistles. So I'm really excited. Also, a wonderful woman called Lauren Beatty from 10 Psychology is also going to be doing a little thing. Beautiful singer-songwriter Hannah Ackfield is going to be singing with me at the Wesleyan. And Candice McLeod, who is a singer-songwriter, is going to be performing with me at Yak and at Malwela. And that's it. That's all. That's my plugs.
My goodness, that's very exciting. Well, I can't wait to stay home and look after the kids while you frolic around.
Hey, you're going to come to the Wesleyan one.
Oh, we'll be at that one. Yeah,
you will. No, but this is my very first time doing a tiny little tour.
Mm.
So I'm very nervous, actually. I don't know what it's going to be like. Will anyone show up? Will I be playing to an empty room? I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Well, you know, people can go and find out how empty it is.
And just poke fun at me through the window. Yeah, correct. No, look, whoever will be there. And I'm just so excited to be playing music, mate.
So
that's it. Oh, and just very quickly, by the by, I also have records for sale over at my website. It's a very sweet, sweet tease in all kinds of sizes, including extra, extra, extra large and extra, extra small.
And
all
that's
the way.
It. There's nothing in between.
Nothing in between. And you can also purchase my album if you want to support a little old artist like me. You can buy it directly from my website. However, it's also on Spotify.
That's great, Claire. Yeah. I'm going to talk about one of my recommendations.
All right.
For this
is
week.
That enough of a plug? Good.
You've,
shameless.
You've had enough fun.
I've had enough fun. I had a lot of fun with that bingity bong.
I watched a movie. It's called Ghosted. My God. Directed by Dexter Fletcher.
Just drinking myself a hot chockey.
Dexter Fletcher, you might know from the TV show Press Gang.
I thought it was from that show Dexter where he cuts into an orange very sexily but slightly ominously.
No, Claire, you're thinking of the TV show Dexter and then maybe the Dexter revival series they did last year.
Am I right, though, that it's like weirdly sexy and also violent?
It's supposed to be like a methodical serial killer cutting up kind of situation.
Yeah.
Doing a murder bit of food or whatever. Super you know, Dexter weird. Fletcher also directed Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
Yeah, the Elton John biopic. Yeah. I think he's a great director. So anyway, he's directed this movie. It's written by Rhett Reese, Paul Werner, Chris McKenna and Eric Summers. So here's the synopsis. Salt of the Earth Cole, played by Captain America's own Chris.
Sorry, I'm only laughing because I really enjoy how you say synopsis.
What's his name? Chris Evans, who's
Isaacs.
Captain America. You know Chris Evans.
Bad, bad thing.
You know what? I know people love that song. I fucking hate that song. And I don't know why. I've always hated it. I fucking hate that song. And I don't know why, because I know that if you like look at it as a song, it's either like really good or there's nothing wrong with it. Like I know that, but I fucking hate it, Claire. I've just always fucking hated it. It's just like, you know, something on them that they break into. He's got better songs.
I actually quite like that song.
It's a fucking terrible song.
But I like it even more now that you hate it. You might have ruined it for me now.
Good.
I actually really like that Wicked, Wicked song. Is it the Wicked Game?
Whatever the other one is. Yeah, totally. The I completely agree. I think it's because I remember there was an era when I was like really into like your rock musics, you know, when I used to listen to music.
Yes.
And one of the songs, and then like so I'd listen to a rock station and that song got like heavy rotation. So you'd hear it every hour. So maybe that's why I hate it.
Yeah, that very well could be that repetition.
Hate
broken
it.
Broken your brain.
Hate it.
To be fair, it's not the kind of song you want to hear on high rotation.
It's not the song I want to hear.
Baby did a bad, bad thing. Boom, boom. Baby did a bad, bad thing.
It's awful. The lyrics, cadence of it.
I didn't think so.
The rhythm. Hate it. Anyway, Salt of the Earth Cole.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I will stop interrupting.
Captain America's Chris Evans. He's head over heel for the enigmatic Sadie, who is played by Ana de Armas. Do you know who Ana de Armas is?
No, I don't.
She was the one that James Bond recently in the new James Bond had a little adventure in.
Oh, yes.
Not in. No.
Oh, I mean, he is very famous for
that. Yeah, she's this one.
I mean,
she's
James
in, like,
Bond.
Knives Out and whatever.
Yes, I know who she is. Yes.
Both great. Not only actors, action stars, they could do comedy, they do it all right. But here's the thing, right? There's this shocking discovery after their chance encounter that she's actually a secret agent. And before they can decide on a second date, Cole and Sadie are swept away on an international adventure to save the world. Now, have you ever seen the movie True Lies, Claire? The movie True Lies got Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis, and he's actually a super secret CIA spy, and then she finds out and they drag along, and it's an action movie. James Cameron directed it. She does a sexy pole dance in it.
Yes,
you
I
seen
have.
True
yes,
Lies.
Yes, I have.
It's
yes,
a great
yes.
movie,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
It's kind of in that vein. Did you saw The Lost City with Channing Tatum?
I loved that.
And Sandy Bull.
Yes, Sandy Bull.
Yeah.
Good old
So it's
the,
like
the
in that vein where one's, you know, maybe not what you think and whatever.
Yes.
I know that The Lost City, one of them isn't a spy. It's not the point. No. Anyways, imagine that.
Yes.
But not as good by like a very wide margin. By like quite a lot.
Okay.
It's one of those movies where you're watching it and you're like, this feels like a movie, a fake movie, I should say, inside of a real movie. You ever watching a movie and they show a trailer for a fake movie?
Yeah.
That's what this movie is. It's a fake movie. It's not real. Like, everything about it is bizarre and everyone's hair is weird and, like, the chemistry's off. There's, like, green screen, obvious, like, and there shouldn't be, like, and like bizarre sets that don't kind of have any kind of aesthetic to them. The chemistry's fucked. Like, you're like, the two of them are just like, these people. Ana de Armas is wearing a wig the entire time. And I have excellent wig dar. Like, a lot of people would probably think that was fine. It's very distracting.
And maybe you are a bad, bad wig.
Yeah, there's a lot of
boom.
People pretending to drive and have conversations. Both of these people also. Very funny in real life, in other movies, also in a movie they did together called Knives Out from a few years ago, which was they had more chemistry in that even though one of them was a complete psycho. Here are some review headlines. Ghosted. Dreadfully big action star comedy deserves to be ignored. That's number one.
Whoa.
This is number two. Ghosted review. At least it's shorter than The Gray Man. Now you might be like, what's The Gray Man? That's another fake movie that they made that I didn't watch, which also has Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling and somebody else probably. Again, a movie that it went straight to Netflix and it's like...
Not very
What good. Is this? And I haven't seen it. I don't know. Maybe it's amazing. This is a great one. Ghosted. Say hello to the worst movie of the year. By far.
So I'm confused. Are you recommending we watch this because it's so bad?
I don't even know. So it stars, as I mentioned, Ana de Armas, Chris Evans, Adrian Brody's in it, who I love.
What? And to be fair, I have to say, and I can't let this go by without pointing it out, Chris Evans is your boy.
I fucking love Chris
you
Evans.
You love Chris Evans. You would kiss him.
I'd kiss him a heartbeat.
You would. You love that guy. You love him so much.
He went on social media or whatever this week and he was like, I made the movie Sunshine and everybody hated it. I love it. And I'm like, I love that movie, Chris Evans. That's my favorite movie.
I know.
That's when I realized when they cast you as Captain America and everyone was like, boo, he was already the Human Torch. I was like, no. He was in the movie Sunshine. He's amazing in that movie. And he was an amazing Captain America. You did a very good job.
Indeed, a very good job. I really ignited a Chris Evans bomb.
Yeah.
I know we have previously discussed this. I think he's not that attractive. And you lost your mind.
I understand how you might not think of him as attractive, but I also like, and maybe he'll get cancelled for like shooting a fucking endangered tiger or whatever. I don't know that. But at this point, he seems very nice and also like riddled with anxiety and just
and
like.
And he's also very talented. He's also a great actor.
He can also dance. He does it all, Claire. He's in Not Another Teen Movie, which shouldn't be anything. But it is. And largely because what's written better than those other movies. But he's also very good in it.
Question.
He played knockoff Freddie Prinze Jr. And somehow he got to where he is as opposed to Freddie Prinze Jr. who, to be fair, likes to have a family and whatever.
Yeah.
That's no shout on Freddie Prinze Jr. I'm a big fan. I never saw Wing Commander. Anyway, sorry, go on. What were you going to say?
Nothing. Doesn't matter. I was just having a little giggle in my head because I was imagining you in a shop and then Chris Evans coming in and singing you Baby Did a Bad, Bad Thing and you being like, all right, Chris Evans, I don't mind this song
unacceptable.
Anymore.
Unacceptable.
Oh, not even Chris Evans could turn you on that song.
The chemistry, I cannot stress me enough.
Stress me enough?
I cannot stress you enough,
it's
Claire.
It's so bad.
Just squeeze you like a stress ball. Ooh, so you understand.
Okay.
It's fucking weird. Like, they don't even feel like, and other people have said this, that they filmed on the same day. Even when they touch or kiss, it's like, are they though? It feels like it was shot in quarantine, but it wasn't. Like, it couldn't have been. Right? It's so weird. And the other thing is, and look, I know you'll probably disagree. She's a super spy, right? And I think she fits the role better because, like, she's done that before. She's very good at action, as he is, because he does some action stuff in this as well. But he's such a weird fucking loser, and he's got this desperate energy in addition to his character written as, like, really possessive and, like, he meets this girl and he'll text her, like, 100 times or whatever. Like, he does shit like that. And it's like he's too good looking to have turned into this. Like it wouldn't have happened to him because he would have just had people throwing themselves at him his entire life.
Including James Clement.
Including me. Where he just wouldn't be his personality. You could have cast like Seth Rogen, right? Because he's more of an everyman. That's not to say he's ugly. I actually think Seth Rogen is normal looking to attractive for an average person.
Weirdly, I think, and I don't know, I feel like I'm probably alone in this, Seth Rogen is more attractive than Chris Evans.
Sure.
However, Chris Evans is objectively better looking.
I understand.
Odd. Strange. Don't know why that is. It's BD energy, I feel.
I completely agree. And I think that's it's that. It's BD energy. It's how people carry themselves. I know people get caught up on like height and like fitness and like, I don't know.
But
like,
I think a lot of it has to do with that kind of charisma. And
completely agree.
And this is an energy about
and it's something
like Seth Rogen.
It's something you can work on if you're talking to somebody as a man of the opposite sex or not, whoever you're attracted to. And the way is you work on yourself and you talk to somebody that you're attracted to or any woman just like they're a person.
We have discussed
this before. There's a little secret for you. All you got to do is talk to somebody. You know how like you're a person.
Yeah.
That person is also a person.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to remember.
What is so wild to me is that you've said this to me before, like revolutionary advice.
No, you would be shocked how many people do not know that.
But I know. But this is what I'm saying to you, that you've said it to me as revolutionary advice and I've gone, that's ridiculous. But then I also have spoken to you and other men and also seen other men in my life speaking to, this is very hetero, but to other women and being like, oh, that's why you're being weird.
Yeah.
Or conversely, in my life, I've experienced that where I've seen a perfectly kind of regular man talking to his friends in a regular way. And then I entered the conversation. And
yeah, excuse me.
Excuse me. I'm a person here just wanting to be talking to like a regular person. No, and they almost freak out.
Mm.
Like they almost don't know, particularly if you say something like add to the conversation or say something slightly funny or like sarcastic. It's like they not all men obviously, but some do. They freak out. They're like, you're not supposed to talk like that.
Mm.
And how do I talk to you? I don't know.
And the answer is you don't. You walk away.
No, but it is. It's just that really strange thing. I just wonder about that. It is still funny to me sometimes that you get people who say, and particularly with my album. Oh my God. I know, yeah. I can't
stop
talking
about it. No wonder men don't want to talk to you.
No, but because it's women's stories, right, the storytelling, you like I have had people, men particularly, say to me things like, I had never thought about my mother as a person before, which is wild to me.
Yeah.
And I also get that, I guess, as a kid. You
also,
sort of
sometimes
see
people like,
people.
They hide that aspect of themselves from
yeah,
their
they
kids
absolutely
or others
do.
Or whatever. So,
I agree, yeah. But it is just an interesting thing, isn't it? Why do men think that? Like, why?
I think it's the conditionings of it. I mean, look, you've got all these absolutely unfuckable dorks giving these,
oh,
like.
Oh, God, that's very
giving
harsh.
These, giving this, like, insight. No. No, this is, you're not. You've cut me off here,
oh,
Claire.
Sorry, I'll
I'm talking about the guys who sell this kind of advice to people who it's practice. Like if you want to talk to somebody, it's practice. Like and you're going to like fail. And also some people, they don't fucking like you and it's got nothing to do with you. It's their preference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you just keep going. That's just part of it. Not everybody is going to like you or respond to you in the way that you want them to. Mm. And that's fine. But it's literally just talk to people like people, but you got people being like, you say this line and you treat yourself as a, you know, you, women are high value assets and you know what I mean? And if they go like this and then you go like this and you say this and then, and even if you somehow manage to trick a woman into bed, which can be done, I assume, I wouldn't know, but if you did, you're not, what are you getting out of that? Nothing. Like they're just going to figure out it anyway, you know what I mean? That you're like this, so that you've done this thing. So you may as well just be like, the genuine nice version of yourself, you know?
Mm.
These people, like they, like your Jordan Petersons and whoever the fuck else, like lunatics. Just like, again, unfuckable dorks, miserable, like from birth. Do not listen to them is my point. Dating gurus, whatever. They're usually like crossed over with crypto bros. Awful. Stay away from them. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I know more than them.
I do. Great. That's the quote of the day. This is the show title. Don't put that as a show title, colleagues. Look, what I do think is very, very valuable is the thing that you said about women just being people and anyone you're attracted to, whoever you are, also going into an initiation of that vibe, A, with the idea that anything that happens needs to be consensual and checking in with that person.
Absolutely.
Every step of the way, there's actually nothing wrong with doing that at all.
Mm.
And it's much better to verbally actually check
the
whole way through. So that's one thing. The other thing I would say, obviously, is that you're in there to be curious about the other person as
Absolutely,
well.
Yeah.
And so listening and asking interested questions and then responding to the answer they give you with another question is so valuable.
You might be surprised.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And also, like, obviously that goes both ways. If the other person is just talking about themselves the entire time, you can just be like, oh, well, this isn't for me necessarily.
Correct.
You know?
Exactly.
Not, that's not strictly a men thing, but.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. This is a relationship thing.
But it's something that to be aware of that. And it's also, I think, more interesting than talking about yourself.
The whole time. Yeah, because I think I have experienced this, and I know girlfriends of mine have too. And this is not a gendered thing, it's just, you know, the dating world. Sometimes people going into a date or into meeting someone with the idea that what they need to do is impress that person. And so they go in with this energy of like, these are all the things that I could do and this is how I am and this is who I think I should be and this is like the cool stuff I do and I'm awesome and yeah. And actually that kind of does the opposite a lot of the time. I mean, I'm sure some people are into that, but that actually does the opposite.
I agree.
What you should be going into any kind of situation is, with that genuine curiosity about the other person, and then you hope that then they reciprocate that.
It's also going to come up, like if you've got something that you're proud of and you want to talk about.
Yeah.
It will come up.
Exactly. But, you know, but going in just like that is, I think, from my perspective, quite unattractive.
Just make sure you tell everybody how much money you have. That's important. That's number one. That's rule number one.
The other thing that I love, and we've said this on the show before, you've said to me in the past, which is another thing that just totally blew my mind and made me depressed, but also I think is truthful. You said women don't owe you anything.
Nope.
And that, to me, I was like, of course they don't bloody owe you anything. What would they owe you? They're just a person living their life, walking around.
It's like if you buy somebody a drink or whatever and they accept.
Yeah.
They don't have to talk to you.
No.
I mean, sure, it would be nice, I guess, you know, if they accepted a drink and, you know, they talk to you for it. But they don't have to and they shouldn't have to.
No.
And that's Okay. I mean, would it be a shitty thing to do if somebody you bought them a drink and then they just turned around and left? Yeah, that would sting, obviously.
But also,
but they don't have to, though. Like, they can do whatever they want. It's not that these things aren't conditional, is what I'm saying.
Correct. Exactly. Exactly. Just the same as taking someone on a date and then that guarantees you nothing other than going on the date with them.
Yep.
All of that stuff. Anyway, I think that's really wild and interesting. And I don't know why we got to this point from Chris Evans. Yeah. Oh, the chemistry with Chris Evans.
I guess what I'm saying is at the end of the day, it's on Apple Plus. It's a streaming exclusive Apple Plus movie.
What's it called? Ghosted.
It's called Ghosted. There's just like a breezy nothingness to it. You know, like I don't believe in the supernatural. But you know, if you were like standing in like a corridor and a ghost like moved through you and you felt like a ooh. It's like that, but a movie. So you're like, I think I just watched a movie.
I only want to watch this now just for
you. You might like it. Like, again, like I should stress, completely inoffensive, breezy. There's some okay to terrible action. Cool. Nothing looks real. There's a sex scene where they're entirely under the sheet the entire time. Very, very weird movie. Very weird movie that obviously
doesn't exist. Can we move on now? It's been 20 minutes.
It's also not a real movie.
Okay, can we move on?
Just want to say, if you go to look for this movie, it won't be there. I made it up. It's not real.
Are you serious?
No, I'm joking. It's real. It's a real movie. But maybe it's not.
I would really.
Maybe I did make it up.
Knowing you, I would not be surprised. Anyway.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Moving right along from the movie.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, I really liked, what did he direct? Knives Out.
No, Ryan Johnson. He directed Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
He also directed Eddie the Eagle.
I really liked both of those. They're excellent.
Yeah.
All right. I have a fun. Fun recommendation.
We saw him in London once in a market.
I don't remember. I never
know you
remember anything.
I pointed him out and you went, I don't know. That's what I remember about that.
I was too busy living out my Notting Hill dreams.
Sure.
All right. So my recommendation is the season 2 of a show called Love Me.
Love Me?
Love Me. Love You. Love Everybody. No, it's just called Love Me.
Oh my God.
It is an excellent Australian drama. I know you're skeptical about Australian
drama. No, this one is good from what I've seen of it.
It's really good. It's similar to if you have watched the show Offspring.
I haven't.
It's got a similar vibe to that. It's like slightly on the road of like A Secret Life of Us. But I'd say it's more sophisticated and probably a bit more middle class, for want of a better word. So the basic premise is that in Melbourne, three family members of different ages of life and stages experience love, loss, and the complexity of family relationships. So really it opens in season 1 with this family and the matriarch of the family dies very suddenly. I know she had some complications and passes away. And so then her kids and her husband are kind of left to unravel and experience the grief and loss while also kind of dealing with heartbreak. And
is she okay?
Well, no, she's dead. So probably
not. Does she make it?
No, she doesn't make it. She's dead. What is happening? Let me continue my – anyway.
Does she make it to heaven?
So that's – you're so annoying. Hugo Weaving plays her bereaved husband.
Love Hugo Weaving.
I know. He's really excellent in this as well. He's really endearing. He's kind of like bumbling and naive. He's just completely lost without her. She was a really charismatic, intense, kind of moody, massive presence. And he was very caring and sort of funny. She comes and goes a little. Yeah, she sort of comes as memories and also sometimes she talks to him.
Oh.
Like he'll be sitting in the car by himself and she'll appear.
Hello.
The main character in this, though, is his daughter. Her name's Clara Matheson. It's played by Bojana Novakovic. Now, she is excellent.
She's really good.
Yeah, she's really good. She is a doctor in a hospital and she really plays the idea of that sort of career-minded, very single-focused kind of person who is also at that point in her life where she wants to have a baby. She's in obstetrics herself and she's looking for love but just can't find that right person. But she has very little tolerance for anyone, really, and very little time to date as well. And she's very blunt, which is kind of great to follow. So there is quite a lot of comedy in it as well. What I love about season two, so season one was excellent. What I love about season two is that it continues to follow the love story, the kind of like will they, won't they, that happened in the first season with the character Peter, who's a model, and they kind of live in the same apartment building. Anyway, this is a little spoiler in season one, they finally get together. And what's interesting then about season two is that they explore their journey to try to have a baby. And what I've heard from friends who've experienced infertility is it's a really close and honest look at what happens to a couple when they experience something like that. And in this case, these are some spoilers, but Peter turns out that he is infertile. And so she is fine, but he isn't. And that, what that does to their relationship over time, how he handles it, how she handles it, how the people around them handle it, the kind of grief around that. He already has a son with someone else. And so
he's older as well,
Yeah, and that is kind of then brought into light because he's not sure then if his son is really his son. And so there's all this complexity around should he get genetic testing done. And there's just, the relationships start to unravel from there. At the same time, her youngest brother, whose name is Aaron, played by William Lauder, has a baby with a previous ex-girlfriend. And so she's also watching him grapple with new parenthood in this sort of interesting way. Right. And Hugo Weaving's character just steps in all the time as this beautiful dad who just really adores his kids and wants the best for them, and he's very sort of naive and sweet and kind.
It's very un-Hugo Weaving, as you might have seen him as in Lord of the Rings or The Matrix.
Yeah, but
for
it's
example.
Very convincing.
Oh, he's
as
very
well.
Good.
Yeah, and actually,
he's done a lot of, like, people wouldn't probably know in the US or England as well, but he's done a lot of like really good indie Australian films.
He has,
like,
hasn't
a
he?
Bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah. He makes really interesting choices, I think, as an actor. And one of the standouts in this show actually is his new girlfriend, Anita, who's played by Heather Mitchell. Mm. And what I love about their relationship, they meet on a cruise that he'd booked with his wife who died.
Right.
And she's really sexy, even though she's – and not even, I should say, but she's in her, I'd say, 60s, late 60s. And they do a really good job of showing sexual desire and relationships in older people. Okay. And the way that she's a really free kind of person and draws him in to her world and kind of shows him about art and culture and a different way of being. And she's so light as a person, and he was in a previous relationship with someone who was obviously very intense. And so she kind of shows him a different way of being, and there's just so much joy in that, and that's quite an interesting trajectory to follow. Mm. And season two continues their relationship. They get married, and that's kind of interesting to see how that relationship unfolds.
Comes in and,
yeah, there's some complexity around there too. So it's just great. I loved it. Silly Piccola is a minor character in it too.
Yeah,
she's a friend that works at the hospital with Clara.
Yeah.
And she actually directs an episode as well.
Does she?
Yeah.
She's a great Australian comedic and acting and directing talent.
Correct.
I did not know.
She's also in Utopia, which is a really excellent TV show. And also in Beautiful Lies, which is one of my favourite Australian dramas, who also, coincidentally, that movie stars the wonderful redhead from Succession, played by
Sarah Snook.
Yeah, she's just bloody great.
That's a very dark show.
Yeah, it is a very dark show, but it's very well done.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that is to say, love me. It's on Binge. It's really worth watching. Both seasons are really great. Mm-hmm. So, and they're all up there now.
Would you recommend it over the movie Ghosted?
Oh, I don't know. You really sold me with the movie Ghosted.
A lot of people don't know.
I feel
know
like that would be a fun time for all.
I agree.
Yeah, so, love me. I should say as well, just very quickly, it's also directed by Emma Freeman, and she's a really excellent director, has done a really great job.
I know that name.
Yeah, it's also the writing team is also amazing. Josephine Bornabusch, Alison Bell, who wrote The Letdown, or starred in The Letdown, sorry, I should say, not wrote, starred in it, Adele Vuko, Leon Ford, and Blake Ashford. And again, I think you can just tell when there's like an even split of genders or more women in a writing team, the women characters just are better.
Yeah.
They just talk more the way that women actually talk. Mm. It's just, it's refreshing to see, I think. So, yeah.
Cool. Do you remember, because that actress you're talking about, the lead actress whose name I can't remember.
Bojana Novakovic.
Yeah. She was in a show in 2003 called Marking Time, which was about, it was like an Australian miniseries. And it's got Matthew Laird, what's his name? He's the handsome guy from Offspring, the doctor. Yeah, Patrick.
Yes,
Abe Forsyth and whatever. And it's just, it's like this, it's about a small town in Australia and it's got like an, I can't remember whether it's got an immigration centre or there's a number of like immigrants who have come over from like war-torn countries in the Middle East. And then September 11 happens. And it's just like, I remember it being really good. Maybe it's terrible. But I remember being like really in an era where like the world, some of the world was going to war with the Middle East. This was like this kind of really insightful like look at immigration and refugees like from a perspective that you wouldn't necessarily see. And just the idea of like sitting in a small Australian town. And all that. It's like 20 years old, that show. Anyway, the lead guy in that is now going to direct the new RoboCop movie.
Oh.
Apparently.
What?
If that happens.
That's so interesting. That was a really, really great show.
It was also written by John Doyle, who you might know from Roy and HG.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you remember Roy and HG? Or their show before that?
Yeah, of course
that,
I do.
Club Buggery. They did the games, which was their Olympic Games coverage. If you remember that.
Of course I remember that.
Yeah. Anyway.
I absolutely do.
You're not going to believe this, Claire.
I don't think I will.
You're
going to
lose your shit.
James.
I haven't finished
yet.
I have brought you on this very day a poem.
Stop it.
Yes.
Today of all days.
Yep.
Today of this moment, in this time, you have brought me a poem. Is it one that I've already read out?
I don't know. Let's find out. I just want to confirm the name of it.
Oh, okay. Here he goes while he frantically Googles a poem.
So it's from the book. It's by William Martin. It's from the book The Parenting's Tao Teaching Ancient Advice for Modern Parents.
Ooh, this sounds right up my alley, James.
I haven't read the book, but I have read this poem.
Okay.
This book is from the year
1999. Oh, many moons.
Which was also the year that The Matrix came out, which I would highly recommend if you haven't seen it. okay, it's called Do Not Ask Your Children About the Matrix. Let them experience it in cinemas if you can. No, it's called Do Not Ask Your Children. I feel like I'm bad at reading poetry because I'm not earnest enough and I'm bad at reading.
You're not bad at reading.
Which is terrible because
you're correct.
I was a teacher, so I don't know how.
You just have to sit in your feelings.
All right, I'll sit in my feelings.
The problem with you, and just before you read,
it's very angry down here. I don't like it.
The problem with you, and I know you very, very well. We've been together a very long time.
Sure.
I still don't know when you're being sincere.
Just assume that I'm not.
It's very unclear.
Here we go. Stop me if you read this to me once. Do not ask your children to strive for extraordinary lives. Such striving may seem admirable, but it is the way of foolishness. Help them instead to find the wonder and the marvel of an ordinary life. Show them the joy of tasting tomatoes, apples and pears. Show them how to cry when pets and people die. Show them the infinite pleasure in the touch of a hand and make the ordinary come alive for them. The extraordinary will take care of itself. Many blessings, Claire. Have you read that?
No, I have not. That got me in the feels.
Finally.
Good job.
That's all I wanted.
That was really beautiful.
It's not as good as the one that I read back to you. That I'd already recommended.
Good bones.
But I think it's also a good message of like, hey, man, look at this fruit or whatever.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of About Time. That montage, that movie About Time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and at the end there's –
great movie.
It's such a good movie. But at the end, the kind of wrap up of it all – is that idea. They play that song, There's Gold in Them Hills.
Yes.
And he talks about, because in that movie, the main character can time travel back and forth. And what he learns in all of that in the end is just to take the joy in those really ordinary moments.
That's right, because even though he can time travel, something about family, I don't know.
That was so insightful.
I mean, I would have killed Hitler,
but do you know
whatever.
What I mean, though? I think it's that saying that there's extraordinary in the ordinary.
Absolutely there is.
Yeah.
And it's also like it's very naive and everybody said this all the time and we know. But when you watch a kid experience something, then it's like, oh, yeah, just watching a kid dance. Watching our kids dance. I love it.
I know. It's so great.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Also playing hide and seek in the pool, yeah, over the weekend. Our daughter, there's nowhere to hide in the pool. So what she did was she climbed into the smallest space she could, which is just the corner of the pool, like a bit of the edge was rounded.
Yeah.
And she just went into the crack of it. And then she was just standing there and then she could see me and she would turn her eyes all the way to the side so that like it would almost be like I couldn't quite see her. But so she just ended up looking at me like this.
Yeah.
Which you can't see because it's an audio medium, but it just was the most hilarious thing because I could be like, where are you? And she would just look at me through the crack corner of her eye with her eyes really wide, and it just made me endlessly laugh. And then someone gave her a kickboard, so she just like slid the kickboard in front of her face. Oh, so funny. That was really That's great. Sweet. I know. So, yeah, I agree. That was beautiful. Well done and beautifully read, I will say, sincerely.
Well, I wasn't being sincere. I was being sarcastic, but whatever. What do you got, Claire?
Ooh, all right. So should I do my next recommendation or should I save it for next week?
How much time we've done?
35 minutes.
You can save it, whatever you want.
All right. No, I'll talk about it now.
Okay. Well, that means you'll have to find something else for next week.
Yeah, but that's
You're
all right.
You're always scrabbling around like
I am
like
scrabbling at the moment.
Like a rat in the dark.
Scrabbling everything. Well, this is a beautiful picture book. It's called Life in a Hollow. It's written by a primary school teacher called David Gullen, illustrated by Susan Horton.
Did your mum bring this back from something?
My brother did, actually.
Your brother did,
He's a friend of my brother's.
That's so cool.
I know, it's really cool, and it's published by the CSIRO, which I would also recommend. They're an amazing organisation of scientists based in Australia.
They also make nuclear weapons.
What?
No, that's not true.
Jesus. I thought they're all into climate change. You're so
They are changing the climate with bloody nuclear weapons, right? Anyway, go on.
Anyway, it's just a really beautiful look at hollow trees.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea is
what's in this one? Nothing.
And just
what's in this one?
Well, you know how much I love hollow. You know how much I love trees.
You're bloody
so it's really
head.
Just it starts as a crack in a tree and little skinks start to live in it, which are like little lizards that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time the cracks get bigger and bigger and become a hollow, and each time they become a new home for another animal, which I think is just really – it sounds super simple, but it's just a really beautiful little story and a really beautiful reminder of how important old trees are.
Yeah.
And it's also just a lovely look at our Australian animals. And so there's bats that move in, and then after that there's these beautiful rosellas that move into the hollow, and then slowly possums go in to live there. And so I think it's just beautifully done. And I think, as it says at the back of the book, that is happening, that process is happening all over the place, everywhere we go. And then the idea of then taking your kids after you read the story to walk through the bush and look for hollows and peer into them and see who might be living in there, and then talking about why trees and leaving those old trees are so important because they're homes for animals. It's very simple.
Exactly.
But isn't I really loved it.
Isn't that fascinating that, like, so much of the environment is creatures use, they need old trees. You don't just like, oh, it's dead, let's get rid of it or whatever. Like, every part of the environment has a purpose when we don't mess around with it.
Correct, exactly. We could go down a really depressing rabbit hole. However, this beautiful picture book is excellent. So if you're after a really
It's really, I love the look of it. It reminds me of like a book, like an Australian storybook you'd read in like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
it's got like it's that kind of art style. Because I feel like there's like eras of art and we're in, you know, not that I hate the era that we're in now, not at all, but I just love that it kind of feels like
an
of a different time.
Yeah.
And I can't stress enough. Not in a bad way, in a good
way. No, it's just really beautifully done. Yeah. So Susan Horton does an amazing job with the illustrations. And David Gullen, you can tell he's a primary school teacher because he understands the way to write a book for kids and the concept's really simple.
Good on him for like getting that published as well, because that's
I know, very it's difficult. Amazing. Yeah. So Life in a Hollow, if you're looking for a book, particularly if you're looking for an Australian book, you should definitely check it out. You can find them at the CSIRO.
So many kids book alike. I know like a lot of Australian celebrities or comedians, they just write like these slapdash terrible. It's always like gross McPoo ear or something like that. And it's like,
oh, that gross McPoo ear.
Yeah, you know what I mean. There's a bunch of them like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I know
like
what
I've never tried to publish anything, so what would I know about? But I know it's difficult for like to get anything published. Like, and just the fact that he got that done and it's good is great. It's really cool.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
there are exceptions to that. Obviously.
There are some really
Andy.
Andy Matthews, that book's great. But he's a professional writer as well.
Well, that's true.
That's the other part of it.
That, I mean, I've talked about them. I got to get his second book.
They're so good, those books. Our kids love them too.
I'm going to get that because he said he was going to send it to me and I'm like, no, I'm going to buy it. And he goes, no, I'm going to send you one. But he hasn't sent it to me, so I will just go and buy it and so I can
read it.
Anyway, it's called, Gustav and Henry. There's two of them.
Oh, they're so good.
They're great. They're really good.
Yeah. Anyway. And on that, I have a little email to read out.
Well, before you do that, Claire, hold your bloody horses.
I'm holding them.
I hate horses, Claire. I have a review, and people can review the show. They can do it in-app.
What?
They can use the app of their choice.
What?
And if you do a 5-star review, I will read it out.
Correct.
And that is a guarantee.
Holy moly.
Unless it's weird. You say
don't be too weird.
But most people, I would say all.
Yeah.
I think I've read out probably every review, and if I've missed one, it's an accident. Anyway, this one's from Wolfwood9576. Watch this be the weirdest fucking thing I've ever read. Here we go. I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to read it now. Less successful, just as blissful. Oh, there we go. Maybe it's all right. After finding the Weekly Planet in pandemic, I'm excited to have this now that I'm almost caught up. It gave me Die, which is now one of my favorite comic books, and Next Game I'll Buy, and a number of good recipes. It's sad that these two will never find the beauty in Nolan Rogers' Final Space because it's been buried by HBO, but it's been fascinating hearing both reactions. Keep up the great pod. Thank you. Final Space, I did watch a bunch of Final Space and then they got rid of it.
That sounds hard and sad. I'm sorry, Claire. Your life is a series of challenges, as I say.
No, it is on Netflix here. I should finish that. Anyway, what do you got in terms of
A little review. Well, I don't remember. Start again, Claire.
Do
my
you
brain
remember?
Just, the 21st night of September. Baby did a bad, bad thing.
Mm.
No, so last week I talked about Laura Davis, the comedian, how she had a story about pretending to lose her engagement ring. She was secretly just looking at the shiny, shiny rocks in the moonlight. So then this poor woman went looking for this engagement ring for ages. Anyway, connected important context for this email from Jacob McCrory. Hi, Claire and James. Sunday. I hope you are both doing well. I am a longtime listener of the Weekly Planet and I'm working my way through Suggestible catalog on my long drives from university to my home in a different state. I was listening to the pod and when Claire was talking about Laura Davis's engagement ring story and James's his Iron Giants DVD story, it was a coincidence that, unfortunately, I got caught in a similar lie earlier that day.
Oh, no.
In my economics class, my professor was using the Titanic as a metaphor for the economy or something, and he called on me and asked if I'd seen the movie, which I immediately lied and said yes. Then he asked me what happened right before it hit the iceberg, and when I hesitated, he said, "You haven't seen the movie," and about 20 pairs of eyes darted straight to me with some laughter, of course. I don't know why I lied about seeing a movie that came out before I was born, but I just had to, and unfortunately I got caught.
Damn, you're wrong.
No, Jake. Thank you too for such a wonderful podcast each week. Best, Jake from Colorado.
I mean, at that point, you got to double down. You know what I mean? You got to be you know what? Maybe you haven't seen the movie.
Also, that is so crazy that it came out before he was born.
It's not that crazy. He was born in 1997.
Yeah, I know.
He's an adult.
I know. That's what I mean. Oh, my God. I saw the.
He's like 20.
I saw that movie by myself in the theaters with money that I earned.
Yeah. I mean, if he was born in, say, 1998, probably later, he'd be like 25 years old.
Far out.
Yeah, but he's probably younger if he's doing college stuff or not. Some people go later and that's cool,
I think. That is cool. I will also say there's a PS here.
Oh, yeah.
Claire, my mum, who has two grown children and doesn't listen to music very often, instantaneously cried when I sent her Self, which is a song from my album.
Oh, damn.
I don't know if you knew that I read an album.
That's crazy that she hated it that much.
It's so annoying. And can I continue?
Yeah, I'm just laughing at the thing I said about you.
It was very funny. I appreciate that. It's good that you're laughing at my art. That's fine. And she said she was able to relate a lot to it. So thank you for providing mothers and people with beautiful music that they can resonate with.
Damn.
Oh, mate.
Thank you so much. What a delightful email. Many different facets.
What a legend, Jake, you are.
Stuff,
thank you so much. All right, man. Enjoy your youthfulness.
Yeah, man. You should. Don't. People are allowed to enjoy their youthfulness.
I know,
Claire.
I was being sincere.
No, you weren't.
What?
You said it like a bit of spite, like enjoy your youthfulness.
Oh, I'm just having one of those days where I'm feeling a little old.
Mm.
But as I said, age is wisdom. Be grateful for the aging.
And age.
Also,
It's but a number.
It's a very high number
for you in particular.
Rude. Anyway, we've been Stressful Podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you, as always, to Royal Collings for editing this week's episode. Thank you to Maisie for doing our social media. If you're in Melbourne and you want to come down to the Wesleyan on Sunday the 7th of May, bloody love you to come along and listen to some good old-fashioned tunes.
Next week, I'm going to break down all my healthy snacks that I eat. Not a joke. I'm really going
to
do it.
Do we want people to keep listening?
Yeah, man.
I don't think that is a very good encouragement.
It's that time of year where I get in the best shape that I can and then I don't take my shirt off.
That's what happens. For months. And then it gets to summer and you've maintained.
Over. No, I haven't.
That's what I mean. You've maintained your bod now.
Yeah,
so like you get it really great. So then by the time you've had your Christmas pud.
It's all over.
It's like, to be fair, listeners, he says this. He looks the same.
She's not. I could show you comparison photos, Claire, and I will after this podcast.
Anyway, it's all aesthetics, which are not important. It's what's on the inside that counts.
It's about strength also, Claire. It's about functionality.
I thought it was about teaching your kids how to eat apple or something.
What?
Like the poem.
I forgot the poem. Forget about the poem.
Forget about it.
I found it as a joke. It's not real. No, it's real. Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Also, the movie Ghosted. It's actually not real.
What?
I don't know. People have to Google it, is it? Check it out, maybe. Let me show you a poster.
Right. I thought you said it wasn't real. Can I turn this podcast off yet? What is happening?
Is a thing.
All right, here we go.
Actually, I was saving this to the end. I have this poster.
Yes.
I want you to tell me whether I made this or it's a real poster.
Like a thumbnail.
Yeah. Is that real or did I make that? You tell me. Is it real? Look at it. Is it real?
Listeners, I don't understand
it. Is it real?
Yes, it is real.
It's a real movie?
I think it is because of the context you've given me, that is real.
Yeah, but maybe I made it all up.
Oh God, I don't even know now.
Is it real?
Why is it so blurry in the background?
Is it real?
Yes. That's my answer. I've already given you my answer. Why you just keep telling
you're gonna have to Google
question.
It to find out. And tell everybody else who doesn't know. Goodbye.
Excellent. All right. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.